As you can, yeah, watch out, right? As you can see, family, we are very involved here. Pastor Brad made a very healthy comment earlier. He said, why do we do all this? And he said, we do all this for the sake of unity. We do all this because we're a family, because we love each other, and we serve a God of joy. And he knows how to have fun. Amen? Amen. So in the midst of all this, let's praise the one that actually gives us the ability to do this fun stuff and still be within the Spirit of God. You see what I'm saying? So let's pray, family. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, God, we thank you so much that there is fullness of joy in your presence. God, that you are not just merciful, not just caring, but you are fun and you are a good father. So Lord, in this moment, we come together as one body and we say thank for, we say thank you, and we lift up our praise and we lift up our thanks to honor you and to minister to you. So in Jesus' name, God, we pray that your Holy Spirit fills our hearts with joy this morning. Will you be present with us, God? And we are excited to be with you today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's worship.
indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know they're mine.
You restore every heart that How great is our God? How great is our God? Give him a shout of praise. Clap. Say thank you. How great is our Lord? I mean, think about it. Here we all stand, yet he talks about being the light and breath in our lungs. And at that moment of conception, what happens? A burst of light. He is there with us through everything. Right from the start of our life, there is a burst of light within us. And then as soon as delivery, our first breath, he puts that breath in our lungs. We have his breath in our lungs. How great is our God that we can breathe in and out, that we can think, that we can imagine, that we can contemplate, that we can spend time in his presence. The creator of everything started us all, and we can spend time in his presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for how great you are, Lord. Lord, thank you for giving us a mind that we can think about things, that we can design such amazing works like a submarine, where the nature of that job is just difficult, that the ratio of dives to surface should always be one, that the amount of things that happen every single time a boat goes to sea, just one little thing could make it not go well. Lord, we pray right now for the safety of the crew of the USS Oregon, Lord. Lord, they just went through a tremendous home port shift, and unfortunately they left our waterfront here in Groton, and they've gone down to Virginia, I think, where we all of us surfers hope to be right now, Lord. But Lord, we know how difficult a PCS move can be, Lord. We know how difficult it is for just one family to move, for all of the changes that have to happen, the doctors that need to be reestablished, the homes that need to be bought and sold, just the tremendous amount of switching that happens, Lord. Lord, we just pray right now for your presence to surround the crew and the families of the USS Oregon as they transition from Groton to Virginia, Lord. Lord, we know how difficult that can be. Lord, surround them with family and friends, and most importantly, people of you, Lord. People that know the way, Lord. Christians that can come and surround them, Lord. Not so they just bring them a meal, Lord, so that they can truly know you, Lord. Lord, I pray for supernatural connections when they get there, Lord. Supernatural connections, Lord, that bring them not to Virginia, Lord, but bring them to you, Lord. Lord, to show them and to model them what your light and your love looks like, Lord. Lord, we take this moment right now and we praise you for how great you are. And we know that you will surround them with what they need, Lord, because you always give us what we need, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How about another shout of praise for the God who gives us everything, Lord? Hallelujah. 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 All right, you guys can go ahead and be seated. And Pastor, and my lifeguard's going to come take me out of the water.
Good morning, Seaport. So, wow, March Missions Madness is in full swing, if you haven't noticed. Thank you for showing your team spirit, dressing as team surfers or team biker day. So I figured with all these surfers here, somebody had to come dressed as the lifeguard, right? And aren't you thankful that Jesus is our lifeguard, always watching out for us? And he came to the rescue when we needed saving. Amen? Amen. So if this is your first Sunday joining us and you're like, what is this all about? So this March at Seaport, our kids and teens are raising funds for two programs called BGMC and Speed the Light. These are important missions programs teaching kids and teens how they can make a difference. All the funds raised go to help missionaries as they are serving on the field. So today we're going to talk specifically about BGMC, which stands for Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge. So funds raised through BGMC, they meet critical needs around the world with a special emphasis on kids reaching out and helping kids. Additional project focuses, they include curriculum translation, kids outreaches, medical care, foster care, so through child welfare programs, water initiatives, and feeding programs, and the list goes on. So really, anything that a missionary may need to spread the love of Jesus. So we actually have a special video greeting this morning from one of our supported missionaries, Mark Gardner, whose ministry has been a recipient of BGMC funds. Let's go ahead and watch.
Well, hello, Pastor Brad and Seaport Community Church. I'm Mark Gardner, your missionary to the Polynesian Islands. I'm out here on the island of Viti-Levu, one of the Fijian islands, and I just wanted to thank you for sending us out here, praying for us, supporting us. We appreciate you. We appreciate BGMC for all that they have done to help us run these kids camps and not only train and teach people out here that children can be born again and filled with the Spirit, but also to help us to go and demonstrate that. And so we thank you for praying for us and for supporting us as we're demonstrating the power of the Holy Spirit in the midst of the lives of children. Thank you so much.
Isn't that awesome? So Mark and his wife, Kim, they've actually been missionaries since 1995. And the emphasis of their ministry has been on winning children and youth to Christ and on training churches and leaders to do that as well. We support as a church body over 40 missionaries. If you have not visited our mission wall, you can leave here today. And it's right over this way as you exit the doors and see all the different missionaries that we support and where they're serving. So for the rest of the month, you can jump in on this fun by joining the Team Spirit Challenge and vote for Team Kidman, which is Pastor Brad, or Team Youth, which is Pastor Russ. And the team with the most votes by month's end will get to silly string the other ministry leader and the pastor. Wow. So as of last week's total, Pastor Russ, you had 28 votes, and Pastor Brad, you had 32. So keep on voting, friends. Mark your calendars. You can see all the different dates of the rest of the challenges coming up. And join us at the Silly String Spectacular. The final day of the challenges and for the kids and teens to bring in their jars is March 30th, and then the Silly String Spectacular will take place on Sunday, April 2nd. It'll be directly following service, and everyone is invited to come watch. So if the kids and teens hit their goal of raising $500 for each program, they will have the special honor of silly stringing our youth leader, Nate, and I. Mm-hmm. And yes, pretty exciting. And then whichever team wins will also get to see one of these pastors silly stringed as well. So next week's challenge is Mismatch Madness. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Anything goes, right? Stripes, leopard print, polka dots. So remember, you can only vote if you participate. And if you want more information about the program, you can stop by our missionary table that is out there in the narthex after church. Thank you.
Hey, Seaport, good morning. How you guys doing? Did you guys have a great week? I mean, how could you not have a great week with all this fun we're having at church, right? We had a great 80s movie night on Friday. We got the dress up for that. I mean, I'm starting to get concerned, though, that you guys have probably seen me more like this than like normal. It's a little concerning. But pretty soon here, we'll probably dial it back, and I'll be able to dress normal and all that fun stuff. But, well, you know, I'll take advantage of it, right? Get the mileage out of the wig while you can. I mean, I pay good money for it, so... Well, it's good to see you guys this morning. The youth, you guys can be released to the fellowship hall with Pastor Nate and Katie and have a great time in there. Fall in love with Jesus while you're in there. We'll see you guys later. All right. Well, who's welcoming with us this morning? We want to just give you a round of applause. If you're welcoming for the first time this morning, don't be scared by our crazy costumes. We're just trying to have some fun, raise some money for missions, but we just want to welcome you this morning. Thank you for choosing Seaport. You could have gone to many places this morning or slept in on this foggy, dreary morning, but thank you for getting up, coming to church, being with God's people, being in God's house. If you are, please text the word welcome to the number on the screen. We'd love to get to know you a little better. We'll send you some information as well. After service, Pastor Brad would love to meet you. He'll be back in the cafe area. You can also connect with us on social media. We have an app that you can download to stay in touch with all the upcoming events that are happening here at the church. At this time, I'd like to ask Matt Strand to come on up. He's going to share with us a little bit, a little testimony. Matt's one of our key leaders here for the Royal Rangers program, and he's going to be sharing a testimony in regards to tithes and offerings this morning. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning. Revelation 12:11 says, "They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Lord, I pray that you would be honored through this testimony and glorified. Amen. I like that verse because it looks to me a lot like a formula, and that's how my brain works. It says that we can defeat the enemy with the blood of the Lamb. Jesus took care of that for us when he died on the cross for our sins. And by the words of our testimony, we literally need to say out loud what God has done in our lives. You never know who needs to hear it. Don't hold back the words of your testimony. If you do, you're letting the enemy gain ground. This testimony is not about a one-time blessing, although there are several of those mixed in. It's about how God has consistently blessed and provided for me and my family over a prolonged period of time as a result of tithing and properly managing the resources he has given us. God promises that in his word, and I've personally tested it for over 30 years, and my life is a consistent testimony of that promise. Growing up, we didn't have a lot of money. We shopped at the thrift store for our clothes, poured through the paper for coupons to use at the grocery store. We turned the lights off when we left the room, and we didn't heat or cool the neighborhood. We always had a careful, detailed budget that my parents both spent hours pouring through to know where every cent went. We were always at church, involved in everything, always helping someone, and we faithfully tithed. That's just what we did. For as long as I can remember, I received a regular allowance as a result of doing chores and was required to record it in my budget, a 3-ring binder with a few green budgeting sheets, 10% first to tithe, 10% to college savings, which was stored in a jar on mom's dresser, and the rest in the budget, whatever I was saving or spending for at the time. This was never optional as a kid. Growing up in that environment sometimes felt like we were missing out, but we always had what we needed. And looking back, I can't remember anything that we actually missed out on. Now I see exactly what my parents instilled in me. I don't know anything different now, and have carried the importance of tithing and fiscal responsibility that they taught me into my own adult life and family, which has resulted in consistent, prolonged provision and blessing. I don't have a 3-ring binder anymore. There's an app for that now. But we still tell every cent where to go every month, and we always tithe on any money that comes in. I've done it for as long as I can remember, and I can't imagine doing it any differently. Now we're teaching Felix the importance of tithing, working for money, and budgeting will come soon. Over the years, God has directed my steps and provided what I needed. I applied to many colleges, was accepted at 2, and one with a 50% scholarship, so I went there. I graduated college in 2009 when there were no job opportunities. I applied to all the places I could. I got 2 interviews, only 2, both at EB, and I got 1 offer, so I came here. When Lindsay and I got married, we had some debt that put some tension in our marriage. We went all in, kept tithing, budgeted meticulously, you can ask her, and we crushed our debt. We've been debt-free for over 6 years and can't imagine going back. Last year, our van was totaled. God protected us and provided a way for us to get another van that's paid for. Just last week, I received a 14% raise and large bonus. In the 15 years I've worked at EB, my salary has increased 3x year after year of good raises, promotions, and opportunities. I found through my own experience that if I'm obedient to tithe, carefully manage the resources that God gives me, he will direct my steps and faithfully provide what I need. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. It's powerful. Powerful. Amen. Yeah, no, you'll find, you know, it's hard. I know if you're mathematical or you have an engineering mind, you're like, how could I live off of 10% less? But when you partner with God and you trust him, 90% of your income with God and his blessing is so much greater than 100% of your income without his partnership and his blessing. So I just want to encourage you. I know it's hard to let go and surrender, but believe me, like, we have similar stories of over the years, just like sometimes the math didn't math, but you know, God is, he's not a God of math. He's a God of the universe and he owns it all, right? So It doesn't always make sense, but I just want to encourage you, if you haven't tithed yet, give it a shot. Be like, all right, God, I'm going to jump into the deep end and see what happens and watch him just open up the floodgates of heaven like the Bible says he will. Amen this morning? Amen. All right, so if you want to give, there's a few ways to do that. All those ways are up on the screen behind me, and we are going to pray over our offering this morning. God, we just thank you that you are the God of everything, that you own it all, Father, and that you're a good Father. You don't ask for us to give to you so that we can have less, God, but you ask us to give so that you know that we trust you and so that you can expand your kingdom around the world, Father. And we just thank you, Lord, for your provision in our lives. We thank you that our source is not our jobs and not our paychecks, but our source is actually you, Father, directly from heaven, Father. And no matter if we get laid off or fired or whatever happens in our lives, God, you are everywhere and you are always going to take care of us and always provide for us. So I just pray for blessing over this congregation. God, I pray for faith and courage to step out into tithing for those who haven't taken that leap yet, Father, that you would give them that ability and that boldness to take that step of faith, to trust you, and to believe for you to miraculously do crazy things like give us cars and other things that we cannot do for ourselves. Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you for our goodness in our lives, and we give you the rest of the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. All right, let's take a look at our opportunities for the week.
So, this wasn't a stretch for me. I wear a Harley shirt and a bandana. Seen I've ridden motorcycles for over 50 years. And so, I guess you've got to find out, can I have all the surfers stand? All the surfers. Okay. All right. Okay, surfers, you can be seated. I've never seen a surfer wear a tie, but Ed's wearing one. Who knew that there was such a thing? Ed told me today he spent 5 years surfing. I didn't even know that. All the years I've known. How many of you bikers here? All right, would you stand? All you, okay, all of you bikers, all right. I think the bikers got you, surfers. Yeah, if you don't know this lady right down here, that's Teresa Wilson. I saw her at an event dressed like that, and everybody was going, who is that? She says, Teresa. Anyway, so I know some of you came in dressed like this, and so Kristen was given the job. Kristen was given the job of selecting like the best surfer and the best biker, and she came up with a couple. So I'm going to just have these folks just come up here. I don't know if Daniel is still in here, but best surfers, Daniel Jones. Daniel, are you here? Did you go out with the youth? There's Daniel right there. Come up here, and. And thinking way outside the box, okay, Kristen, thinking way outside the box, Lindsay and Matt as not bikers, but bicyclists. You guys come on up here. Just come on up here real quick, like. Now, my daughter probably rode maybe half a mile in her entire life on the back of a motorcycle. But she's ridden a lot on. So, okay. So, you might as well go have some ice cream. And you and Matt might as well go have some ice cream. Hey, woo! How fun is that? How fun is that? Thanks for everybody for participating. In doing this, I do appreciate it a lot. Of course, I've said to some people, I don't know what this is going to look like to people that don't know this church. They see all this stuff on social media. They mean, what kind of a church is that? You know? Let me tell you what kind of a church this is. This is a church that doesn't mind having a little fun, and it's okay. And at the same time, for an amazing cause. Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge and Speed the Light that buys vehicles for missionaries. And BGMC teaches, you know, teaches teens, Speed the Light teaches teens to help missionaries buy vehicles. Boys and Girls Missionary, used to be called Crusade, now Challenge, helps boys and girls learn the value of supporting missionaries. And so I really wasn't expecting Mark Gardner to give me a personal shout out, but thanks, Mark. That's great. Hallelujah. Let's, just before we jump into the word this morning, you know, I think it would be, let's pray that God spoke to me some time ago. I've shared this with some of you. Let me share it again. You know, I think last year, you know, we gave something like $100,000 to missions. That's $100,000 we gave away. Yeah, just gave away. Some people think, oh, that church wants to honor your money. Yeah, we'll take your money and we'll give it away to the missions. Anyway, but the Lord spoke to me and said, said my will for the church is to raise $200,000 for missions. So that's our goal, and we're working at it. It doesn't mean it's going to happen this year or next year, but we're working on it. And so this is all part of that. Amen? So let me just pause and let's pray for missions around here. Lord, help us. Some you call to go. Some you call to pray. But all are called to give. And so help us, Lord, to be a church that rises to your challenge. Whether it's Be the Light, whether it's BGMC, Gospel Kids in Ghana, it kicks off pretty soon. Or these 45 or so missionaries, God, may we play the role that you've given to us, and may we see your gospel go forward around the world. And I pray every single one of us, I know it will happen, every single one of us, Lord, when we go to heaven, we're going to meet somebody who came to faith there in heaven because we gave. We prayed. We dressed up for a great cause. Thanks, Lord. Amen, friends? Amen. Amen. Again, thanks for participating in this. It's kind of fun, and it's wonderful to do that. We're going to jump in. What if everything that you thought about yourself was wrong? Maybe you're in a season where you feel like you don't fit. Maybe you feel like you don't know where you're going. Maybe you wonder, what is my purpose? Maybe you wonder, just what is God calling me to do? Where is God? Maybe you're in a season where it feels uncertain and maybe even a tad fearful. Or maybe you're just thinking, well, I guess this is just what my life is. Maybe you're in one of those kinds of seasons today. You're not really alone. You see, that's where Moses was that day. That's exactly where he was. You have to understand that when we connect with Moses there in Exodus chapter 3, where we're going today, Moses had been a prince of Egypt, the most powerful nation on the earth. He was a prince. He'd been surrounded by wealth and affluence, and anything he said would go. But then in a moment, everything changed, and he would escape to what was called the backside of the desert. And there he would spend 40 years from prince to shepherd, living a very obscure, lonely life. And I wondered what some of those days and nights must have been like when he reflected upon the 40 years in Egypt and now 40 years in absolute wilderness. I wonder. But God wasn't finished with him. And God isn't finished with you either. As a matter of fact, God was just getting started with Moses. And maybe he's just getting started with you. When I was 59, the Lord spoke to me And he said, the next 10 years of your life, 60 to 70, are going to be some of the best years of your life. I didn't know what that meant, but I got an amazing confirmation of that on my 60th birthday. I didn't tell anybody what the Lord said to me. Matt and Lindsay came to our house and announced to Debbie and myself that they were expecting Felix. What a kickoff to this decade. And God has done so many other things. I don't have the time to tell you about them in these last now 8 years. It's been amazing. It's been amazing. You see, God is still at work. It doesn't matter what season that you're in right now. He's still at work in you. And Moses was about to find out something amazing at 80. I want to show you just a 5-minute clip that kind of, in a movie way, just kind of helps us to understand what happened that day on the mountain between Moses and a God he did not know. Let's watch.
Here I am. Take the sandals from your feet. For the place on which you stand is holy ground.
Who are you?
I am that I am.
I don't understand.
I am the God of your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
You were born of my mother of heaven. You are our brother.
What do you want with me?
I have seen the oppression of my people in Egypt and have heard their cry. So I have come down to deliver them out of slavery and bring them to a good land. A land flowing with milk and honey. And so unto Pharaoh I shall send you.
Me? Who am I to lead these people? They'll never believe me. They won't even listen.
I shall teach you what to say.
But I was their enemy. I was the prince of Egypt, the son of the man who slaughtered their children. You've chosen the wrong messenger. How can I even speak to these people?
Who made man's power? Who made the deaf, the mute, the seeing, or the blind? Did not I? Now go!
Stretch out my hand and smite Egypt. with all my wonders. Take the staff in your hand, Moses. With it, you shall do my wonders. I shall be with you, Moses.
And Moses would meet Yahweh. I am that I am. This would bring Moses into the final chapter of his life. An important moment that we'll jump into. But as we've been walking through this series, he calls himself, has been looking at so far just the Old Testament names of God. We understand that God reveals his character, his nature, reveals something significant to the characters and to us by the name that he calls himself and reveals himself as. He uses those names to remind us of who he is and what he does. I am that I am. And those names, that when we hear them, cause us to remember something about him or something that he did or something that he is. This has been a significant series, at least for me. I hope it has for you. But as I thought about this sermon today, I thought about this message, I asked myself a very simple question. Why did God choose that name? Because what you've seen as we've preached through the names of God so far, and we've got so many more to go, is they're all rooted in some specific, not always, but most of the time, a specific event or something that's happening. And he reveals some aspect of his character. And so I asked myself this simple question. Why did God choose the name Yahweh, which of course is probably one of the most well-known of all the names of God? Why did he use that name when calling Moses to step out and to do this amazing thing and confront Pharaoh and all of Egypt? When he did that, he was giving Moses more than just a name to share with the people and with Pharaoh. He was doing more than that. He was making a very profound, as he always does, a very profound statement about his nature, his character, his purposes, and his personality, and his relationship with us, you, and with me. I mean, if you look at this very carefully, one of the things that you'll notice is this. He's revealing himself. In this particular situation, number one is self-existent. All that means is this, is that God is dependent upon no one or anything for his existence. He is completely in himself who he is. That's an important thought. I mean, you know what? Unlike the gods of Egypt that were tied to human thinking and tied to nature, Yahweh exists independently of anything. Everything exists because of him and through him and for him. And I think this world needs to get that. I mean, you don't have to wonder if God is dependent upon something or some situation or some outside force. You don't ever have to wonder about that because he is self-existent. He is who he is. He is I am that I am. He's not subservient to somebody's ever-changing ideas or emotions. He is the God who resides outside of time. I think that that's maybe one of the reasons why Jesus, when he told us to pray in Matthew 6, said, pray this way, our Father who is in heaven. Which means very simply, his source, his provision is not limited by mankind. He dwells outside of time and outside the limitations of man. But there's more. There's more. God knew that the people living under 400 years of bondage, they would need to know that this God that Moses was bringing back to them was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who was faithful to them, will be faithful to them. And you know what? As that same God, if he was faithful to them, he'll be faithful to you. He changes not. He changes not. I mean, unchanging in his nature. It says in Hebrews that he's the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in just a moment, I'm going to kind of tie some things together. So stay with me on this. And by saying that, you know, I am that I am, he's saying to those people that this same God, he's seen, he's been involved, he hasn't changed. He's coming now to deliver. And they would need to know that. They would need to know that. And sometimes it's hard for you and I to hang on to that, isn't it? It is. But there's a third thing that I want you to get a hold of here too. And when I asked this question, you know, why did God use that name, Yahweh, I am that I am? I think the third reason is simply this, is because it speaks of power and it speaks of presence. I mean, it speaks of the one who is actively involved in our lives and in our world. He hasn't just, like the deists used to think, you know, he's just created everything and then just left it and went on his own way. No, it's not that at all. I mean, I am is present tense, means that he is continually, purposefully involved in your life, even when it doesn't seem like it. And Moses would need to know that based upon all the things that he was about to encounter. And he needed to know that he wasn't just being sent, God was going with him. And you and I need to get a hold of that too, is that God doesn't just send us, he goes with us. And sometimes it doesn't seem like that. And Moses had to have this kind of an encounter to be sure that he understood exactly what God wanted him to do and that God would indeed be with him, because there would be some challenging moments in the demonstration of God's power through the 10 plagues that would soon follow. And God would display his power in those 10 plagues. I don't know if you're aware of this, but let me just say it and remind you or inform you. It's interesting why the 10 plagues. You see, each one of those plagues was designed to reveal God's power by confronting one of the specific gods of Egypt. Every one of those plagues was designed to convey the idea that God was above and beyond any of the gods of Egypt. And so he took all 10 of their top gods down one at a time. Study it yourself sometime and you'll see. Ra, the god of the sun, was taken down by darkness. And on it goes. You'll see that. They weren't just random kinds of plagues. They were intentionally designed to demonstrate God's power over the gods of Egypt. But the name Yahweh conveys a personal, intimate God. One who is powerful, he's holy, he's righteous, but he's deeply personal, involved. I quote it often because it means so much to me. I don't have any tattoos, but I think when I read this verse of scripture, it just moves me. It says that he has written my name, Brad Whipple, in the palm of his hand. Lots of times we get tattoos in places it's hard to see them. It's not hard to see what's on your palm. Not hard to see it. Your name, Isaiah says, is written on the palm of his hand. Think about that. Think about that. Unlike the gods of Egypt that were impersonal, distant, capricious, arbitrary, God reveals to Moses his personal name. If you have a relationship with somebody that's just kind of casual or professional, or, you know, it's just an acquaintance, sometimes you want to change that relationship and make it a little bit more, I don't know, friendly, maybe warm. And you might say these words. you know what? Just call me. And you offer a preferred name instead of a professional name. We often do that. And so God was saying to Moses, call me this. And Moses moved from a vague understanding of the God of the Hebrews, he knew he was Hebrew, to understanding the relationship. And you know, God is calling you. If you're here today, and maybe you just know about God, he's calling you into a personal relationship with him because he wants that with you. I hope that you'll accept that offer and step into relationship with him. I mean, his name reveals very simply, oh, there was no question that God is holy, but he was approachable. You can draw near. And that's the whole reason. I mean, again, that's the reason why Jesus came, was to help us to understand who God is and why he came and that he is approachable. It's the reason that Jesus came. To move from just a God that is far above and beyond us to a God that is near, a God that is close, a God that is caring. I mean, even today, God takes the initiative to continue to reveal himself through the person of Jesus and call us to step into a relationship with him and to embrace his mission. God didn't call you and I to go to Egypt, that's for sure. But he did call Egypt in the Bible as basically speaks of the world. He did call us to go into the world and to join his mission and see people freed from the greatest taskmaster of all, and that is sin. That's his mission for us that he's called us into. How are we doing on that? But God knew that Moses was going to have to be convinced because of everything that he faced. Moses had a great sense of inadequacy, and I can't blame him for that. He just felt inadequate. And God would have to continually remind him that he was the God who was powerful enough to sustain and help and strengthen him. And guess what? God's still doing that today, isn't he? Still doing that today. And just as Yahweh spoke to Moses, Jesus echoed those same words that I am with you, even to the end of the age. I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll give you my power, my strength, and my authority to go do my will. And that's what God is doing with you and with me. You know, it's interesting, as you go into the New Testament, you see I am. You see that. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 8, verses 58, Jesus, speaking to the religious leaders, says to them these shocking words that you and I just read, and we just got to go, okay. They were horrified when Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. They recoiled at that because they knew what he was saying. He was the eternal, self-existent God who he was claiming to be God himself in that moment. They knew he was talking about Exodus chapter 3. They knew it. And they recoiled hard at it. But as you go into the Gospel of John, some of you have discovered that John is very different from the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John, writing primarily to the Greeks, wants them to understand that Jesus is indeed God, that he is deity. So he picks out seven what are called I ams. You read through the Gospels, you read through John, you don't see this, but when you get to John, you see where Jesus says, I am, several times. Look at this. In chapter 6, he says, I am the bread of life, meaning I am the one who sustains you and strengthens you and provides for you. I am the light of the world. I will lead you. I will guide you. I will direct you. I will cause you to see when you cannot see. I am the light of the world. I can bring light into the darkness. Yesterday, my wife and I were looking for something for today, couldn't find it. I had to look in some places that weren't all that well lit trying to find it. I got the brightest flashlight I could find in the house. I didn't find what we were looking for, but I sure found a lot of other stuff. The brightness and the intensity of the light. Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the door. The door signifying entrance into his salvation and protection from the evil one. Every one of these, there are messages or two all unto themselves. But the people who heard that were beginning to really grasp, wait a minute. He's claiming to be the same God of Exodus 3 and Moses. Some of them missed it, but many of them caught it. Jesus would continue, I am the good shepherd who cares for you, who guides you, who rescues you and me, who heals our wounds, the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, he would continue. I am the resurrection and the life. Those words that he spoke at the tomb of Lazarus, they were designed to be much more than just words that are often read in funerals and in graveside services. There'd be a reminder that Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave, and has promised to give you life eternal if you'll receive it. But you got to receive it. Lots of people in our current culture believe you die, you go to heaven. You don't go to God's heaven until you meet his entrance requirements. His heaven. Jesus said it plainly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. There are not multiple ways to heaven. There's one. Just one. Some call it narrow. I call it simple. There's one. He is our way. I am the true vine. You get into John 15, you see Jesus claiming to be the one that if you and I will stay attached to, we will find fruitfulness, effectiveness, a life of purpose, a life of meaning. Jesus, the I am, showing clearly who he is for us. Just like God revealed himself in power and glory for Moses, Jesus reveals himself by his power and glory to come and stand beside us and to empower us to go into the world and carry out his mission. As you look at those I ams, which one do you need to hang on to today? Which one do you need to say, man, that's where I am today? No matter what your situation, no matter what the challenge, no matter what the difficulty, no matter where you're at, you can come to the I am and find him sufficient for your need. What does this mean to us, really? What does it mean? You know, lots of people, I mean, I've thought about this a little bit. You know, Moses, I mean, he wasn't expecting this. He said, yo, man, there's that bush over there. It wasn't unusual to see bushes on fire. Bushes would catch on fire in that environment, very arid, very dry. They'd catch on lightning strikes, bushes would be on fire, but they'd be burned up. And he looked at this thing, it's like, yeah. And they look, wait a minute, the thing isn't burning. Burning, but it's not burning up. I got to see this thing. Read it there in Exodus 3. He turns aside and he realizes, wait a minute, something going on here. He wasn't planning for that. He wasn't encountering that. I thought about, you know, the Sunday morning I walked to a little church in 77 New London Avenue, 77 Lee Avenue in New London. I wasn't planning on giving my life to Jesus. I had an encounter with a holy God. I have never been the same since. If you're here today, you're not here by coincidence. God has called you to be here at this moment. And maybe you feel like, I didn't really come except just go to church. God doesn't see it like that. He's carefully managed and get to give you opportunity to receive Jesus your entire life, to have a moment with him that will transform your life potentially forever. Forever. Moses had to, He had to have not just a spiritual moment. Lots of people have spiritual moments, but they don't move past them. You got to move past that. You've got to step into it. You've got to embrace it. You got to simply say, God, I'm going forward. That's why I think this theme is chosen for this year to drive, meaning, God, intentionally, I'm going to step into all that you have for me. I'm not going to hold back. And Moses could have held back. He knew what he was up against. That's why he said the things he did there in Exodus 3. You know, he knew it. But maybe, and he felt inadequate. Maybe sometimes you feel inadequate, and so have I. You know, when we feel inadequate, maybe we need to just simply say, wait a minute, I am is enough. Maybe when you feel like you're lost and you don't know which way I'm going, you need to remember, I am is the way. Maybe like Moses, you know, when you feel weak and unable, you need to remember, I am is strong enough to do what you need to do. Maybe you need to hang on to that. God is calling. I know this is true for every person here, because God is continually working in all of our hearts and all of our lives, but are we paying attention? That's the question. Even though I've walked with the Lord all these years, in my heart I yearn for more. Not settled. Push forward with me. Amen? Let's push forward. I want to challenge those of you that are here at Seaport. You love coming to the church, and that's great. You love coming to the church. And maybe you would like to step in and be involved, but you're feeling inadequate or unsure, or maybe you don't know exactly what you're supposed to do. Well, let me get practical for a moment. I want to challenge you to take a step and take that step right now. And take a step and sign up and go to Engage and be there with me for 75 minutes tonight. And I will help you to understand some things about who God made you to be. His purposes in your life. Where you fit into his kingdom. Give you some direction, help you to understand how he wired you up and the spiritual gifts that are within your life. And if you put those into play in this church or whatever church, how that God will give you a greater sense of purpose and meaning and make your life significant and stretch you and challenge you. That's what Engage is about. So make sure you sign up before 1 o'clock so I know you're coming. You can do it in person right here in the office. Or you can do it online. Either way, it's fine. But you know what? Regardless of where you're at today, every single one of us can at least do three different things. I mean, we can take three steps. Maybe this week, instead of simply saying Heavenly Father, maybe you just need to, and it'll seem awkward and it'll seem kind of strange maybe to use God's name, Yahweh. Maybe you need to say, instead of Heavenly Father, maybe you say Yahweh. My great I am, the one who empowers and enables me. Maybe you're facing uncertainty. Maybe you need to simply declare, God is my I am in this situation. And maybe you just need to trust and obey and step out and do what Moses did into what God called him to do. Knowing that he goes with you. He is I am. Maybe you're sitting here and you've been wrestling with doubt. Maybe you've been wrestling with fear. Maybe you know what God wants you to step into, but you've held back and held back and held back. You're afraid of this, afraid of that, unsure of this. Don't want to do that. Let me just say this to you, that until you step into it, you will spiritually go nowhere. You can come here all you want, but you will never advance spiritually the way God intends until you step in and are obedient to what he tells you. Many, many years ago now, the Lord told me that there were three things that he wasn't very happy with me about. That was not a very good day. And I'll never forget what he said to me. He said, you can choose to deal with these things. And they were all hard, embarrassing, unpleasant. You can choose to deal with these things. Or he said, exact words, you can stagnate spiritually for the rest of your life. I'm like, that's not really a choice. Obviously, I said, it doesn't matter the cost. It doesn't matter the embarrassment. I went and did them, and it was hard. It's hard. But I said, I cannot afford to spend the rest of my life in spiritual stagnancy. Moses could have had a moment, but without the obedience, it's all it was a moment. He had to go. The only question right now is this, and the band can come back, is will you trust him? Will you trust him and release your life to him today if you've never committed your life to him and become a Christian and follow him? Are you willing to take the big risk and follow him into what might feel like the unknown? But you're not going alone. You're going with one who deeply loves you more than you can imagine and has the most amazing journey for you. If you're here today and you're already a follower of Jesus, maybe you just need to stop and just simply say, okay, enough of wrestling with you, enough of all of that, God, I relent. I'm going to do what you've called me to do. End of story. And move forward. Do it. Yep. That's regardless of where you're at, just trusting that God will help you. Step into that. In just a moment, right after we sing this song, ministry team will come across the front here. If you need to know Jesus, they'll help you with that. If you just need to say, I just need God's strength to step into what he has for me. I know what it is. Maybe you don't know and you just sense like you need clarity. That's fine too. But you just say, I just need someone to pray with me that I can step into what God has called me to do. Sit in a church all your life and waste it. I can step out and do what God tells you to do. And find things you never imagined. When God threw, what I describe it like this. God said to me one day about the foundation, here, catch it. I had no plans to be the president of any foundation. God literally threw the thing at me. And what a journey it has become. I could have said, God, I don't have time. I have no clue how to run a foundation. None. Never thought about it. But the journey that has put me on, and some of you have seen it on Facebook, has really been amazing. But I had to say yes to something I didn't even really understand. And trust him that great I am, that he'd go with me. And he will with you. Stand with me right now. Let's sing this song. And then I'll bring the ministry team up. If you need prayer for any reason, you can come. If you need prayer to receive Jesus, they'll help you to do that. But let's sing and let's just worship. I want you to settle in your heart right now. Just simply say, Lord, it's okay to say this. I feel inadequate, like Moses did. I feel unsure. I'm a little fearful. It's okay. I don't really know. I don't really understand. But I'm going to step in. I'm going to trust you. And what a story we have in the book of Exodus, don't we? What a story God can write in you if you'll trust him. Let's sing.
I want to be close, close to your side, so heaven is real and death is a lie. I want to hear voices of angels above singing as one. Hallelujah, holy, holy.
want to change things for just a moment. I believe that there are many of you that just need to respond and come. God's touching. Just come. Stand across the front. Just come on. Just stand across the front. Ministry team, you can come behind them and begin to pray for them. Just take a moment. Worship band, just continue to play for just a moment. I'm not going to drag this out. But there are some of you who just feel like you need to come and respond. So come and respond. Ministry team, just move. And key leaders, you can move out too. You can stand right by, just move behind people and just begin to put your hand lightly on their shoulder and pray for them. As we get ready to conclude, just do this with me, friends. Lord, here's my life. Use it. Here's my life. Use it. Thank you, Lord, for today. As we step out of this place, may we go into a world under the cruel bondage of sin. Embrace your mission to see deliverance come. So many of our families, so many of our friends are caught in the slavery of sin. Bondage crueler than anything. Use us, oh God, to see them set free. We trust you for this, Father. I'm going to dismiss this. I would just simply ask that just move quietly out of the sanctuary and talk in the narthex. That would be great if you do that. That would help. I'd appreciate that. Lord, dismiss us right now in your great grace, I pray. Amen. If you need prayer, come and receive it. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. See you Wednesday as we continue Ephesians.
The girl.